chapter number 1. I want to begin reading at verse number 12. And I'm going to read all the way down to verse number 15. It says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Praise our God. You can be seated again this morning. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word, our opening text here this morning. Going to be sharing more Scripture with us as we progress in this message. Hallelujah. But we got a little insight here to why Peter was writing this epistle. Because he wanted them to be able to read it again after he was gone. He knew that his time was up. He knew he was headed for glory. He knew that he was about to be crucified upside down, as the history records of how Peter died. He did not want to be crucified the same way as his Lord Jesus was. And he asked and requested that he be crucified upside down. And they met that request. And thus Peter knew where he was going. But he also knew that the church needed instruction over and over and over and over and over. Are you getting the picture? And I want to preach to us this morning, complete, then repeat. Complete, then repeat. You see, it's an established fact. We as human beings sometimes know things but can't recollect those things. Have been taught things, but they're not real clear sometimes. And Peter understood this. God understands this. And this is why Peter took up and wrote this epistle. This is the second epistle of Peter, not the first one, but the second one. He's writing it because he doesn't want to be negligent. It's his duty, it's his job, it's his calling to continue to edify the church, to continue to strengthen the church, to continue to preach to the church, to continue to teach to the church. That was his calling. He was a disciple first and called to be an apostle and began to admonish, strengthen, encourage the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his duty. That was his calling. And he began to write to those that would read this epistle. He is not the only one. Actually, the reality of it all is all the epistles that we have in our New Testament were written for correction, instruction, rebuke, and edifying. That's what they were written for. Most of the epistles were written because there was problems in the churches. Problems of truth. Problems of error. Problems of error, in other words, going away from the truth that was once delivered unto the saints. And that's how Jude actually starts his epistle, that I felt it important that I write unto you to earnestly contend for the faith. The very things that were delivered unto you at the beginning, that you would keep them strong in your hearts and in your minds. Amen. You know, you remember just a while ago, I told you that, you know, not everybody's going to heaven. Only those who overcome. What are you going to overcome? Whatever obstacle comes your way trying to hinder your faith in Jesus Christ and your walk with Jesus Christ. You see, faith in Jesus Christ begins the race that is set before us, begins the battle that we enter into, that faith in Jesus Christ, and then that same faith then is going to progress and grow stronger as we begin to gain more knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we begin to be conformed to His image. Hallelujah. In other words, we're not going to stop till we reach that city. There's not going to be a time where there is no warfare. There's not going to be a time where there is no race. There's not going to be a time where there is no fight. It is going to be a continual time of building a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the world, and the devil, and the flesh are our enemies. Woo. And they're real. And they're real. Just as real as Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, it's just as real. We're in a warfare. Praise God. Complete, then repeat. Once again, 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, writing his epistle to the Corinthian church. He says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Once again, correction, reminding, renewing, refreshing. He's sending Timothy to the Corinthian church to reestablish them in the truths that they were taught in the very beginning. Wow. 1 Timothy 4:6. He's writing now to Timothy. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained." So he's writing to the Corinthian church, and Timothy's coming. He's writing to Timothy, and he's encouraging Timothy, do your job. Get it done. Preach the word. Correct, rebuke, exhort. That's what you're called to do. Hallelujah. And then 2 Peter 3:1. Peter writes again in the third chapter here, in the closing of second epistle, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us apostles of the Lord and Savior." Praise God. So, what was Peter writing about? He was writing about the gospel that was preached in the prophets and in the Psalms and in the Old Testament. All the truths that pointed to Jesus Christ, that he was the Christ, he was the Son of God, he is the Savior of the world. And so he's talking about that. And then all the commandments that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the apostles as they gave them to the church. Woo! Praise our God. And so we see then, there's not a place that I'm going to just reach it and I'm done. The only time I'm going to be done is when my feet are planted in heaven. And then I'll be done. See, this is when that song's talking about shouting the victory. Because when I get to heaven, it's won. It's done. I'm there. By the grace of God, I have made it. Woo! Hallelujah. Not of my own strength, not of my own righteousness, not of my own intellect, but by the grace of God and giving all my facility unto him. Him becoming everything to me. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. So we see then we complete, then repeat. We get it, and then we get it again. We get it, and we get it again. Hallelujah. And so I want to read now in 2 Peter chapter number 1, and beginning at verse number 1, all the way down to verse number 11. It says, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace," and I like this part, "be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." I want to stop here just a moment. Notice this grace and this peace is multiplied through the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is speaking of his word. The word of God that we have, that grace and that peace is multiplied when we hear the word, we believe the word, we trust the word. That's where peace comes from. Peace is not just an easy, wonderful, good feeling that you get from no thought at all. That's not peace. I don't know what that is. But peace is when you take the word of God and you believe it in the midst of your turmoil. And the peace comes from God's word when you believe God's word and you know that Jesus Christ has never left you nor forsaken you. "Lo, I am with you always." That's where your peace comes from. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is there with you. Jesus is there to strengthen you. Jesus is there to encourage you. How's he going to do it? He's going to do it by his word. And a lot of times people are looking for peace and they can't seem to find it because they're looking in the wrong direction. They're looking for some mystical spiritual experience. And don't misunderstand me. The Spirit of God whispers peace to our soul. But how does He do it? He quickens the Word of God. And we believe it and we know it's God speaking to our heart because we know it's His Word. Hallelujah. He can't speak something to us we don't know. That's why Peter is writing to stir your remembrance. That's why preachers preach every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and midweek service, and teachers teach, and singers sing gospel songs. Hallelujah. What is that? To continually renew our mind of the truths of the kingdom of God so that when we are facing the warfare, the grace and the peace of our God can be quickened to us and we can overcome and we can be strong. Hallelujah. And so we move on according, verse number 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, once again, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Once again, where are these promises coming from? Are they coming out of thin air? Are they coming out of some individual sitting somewhere on a mountain who hasn't eaten for 30 days and all of a sudden he says, I had an angel visit? Where's it coming from? It's coming from God's Word. Hallelujah. This is why His Word is precious to us. Hallelujah. Because this is where the great and exceeding promises come from. That ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We're talking about regeneration here. We're talking about filled with the Spirit of God here. We're talking about walking in the Spirit here. Escaping the corruption. In other words, where does disobedience come from? Where does error come from? Where does sin come from? It comes from the world pulling on our lusts, pulling on that old carnal man, those old desires. But God's Word, God's Spirit is pulling on us to be a partaker of divine nature. Wow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. So then he moves on. He says, and beside this, this is where I want to preach here just for a little while. I want to go ahead and read it. I'm going to come back and preach on this just a little while. And beside this, giving all diligence. That word diligence, that's an extreme word, isn't it? You know, it didn't say, you know, giving all haphazard or half-heartedness. You know, looking at it, take it or leave it. No, giving all diligence because you know this is where life is at. This is because you know this is what God wants in our lives. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So here we have a dilemma. We're either going forward and higher and deeper in God, or we're going back to sin. I think I want to go forward. I want to go forward with God. All right, let me read just a little bit more here. Wherefore the rather, brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here we have the picture. We have the understanding. It's faith, and then keep growing. It's faith, and keep striving. It's faith, and keep learning. It's faith, and adding unto our faith the truths and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we're going to be given an entrance into eternal life. We're going to make our calling and our election sure, because we are now diligent about knowing Jesus Christ and following Jesus Christ and serving Jesus Christ. Oh, praise our God. Hallelujah. You see, there's complete, then repeat. In other words, once you've heard all this and you accomplish all this, remember why he's writing? To stir up your remembrance. And let's go through it again. Woo! That you might pick up maybe some part you didn't get when you was going through it the first time. How many's ever read a book a second time? I'll throw this one at you. This is just kind of a... How many's understood everything in this Bible the first time you read it? But you completed it. But then repeat. Praise the Lord. You know, I might ought to get in the pattern of preaching the message at least 3 times a week. Because we'll complete it. But you're not going to remember everything I've preached during this message. But you're going to get a part of it. You're going to get your nugget of it. You're going to get what God's speaking to you about in this message. You're going to get that part. But if I preach it to you again tonight, you know what? You'd get another part. Woo! Add unto your faith virtue. Oh, are you getting the picture? We're adding here, praise God. We're growing here. We're learning here. And as we learn and we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives are becoming transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're becoming a partaker of that divine nature. In other words, we're starting to live the way Jesus would live. That's Christianity. Glory. All right. So, now he says, add to your faith. And of course, the faith, the word faith is the truth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, the Son of God. No other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the faith. Now add to that faith, virtue. Virtue. I'm going to give you some definitions here this morning. Virtue. Add to your faith. You've been born again by the Spirit of God. You've been regenerated. There's a new creature created inside of you now. Now add to that faith virtue, which is courage or fortitude to enable you to profess or share the faith before men in times of persecution. Excellence. Fortitude, courage, virtue, because Christ has saved you. You want to see everybody else saved too. Add to your faith virtue. Now, how are we going to do that? I mean, I want to incorporate this in here to the reality. This virtue is going to become, because when we start realizing, because the love of Christ constraineth us, and that he died for all. And he died for you, he died for me. How much more did he die for everybody else? And the love of Christ constrains us to share. And we need that courage, we need that fortitude. Once again, you'll be reaping from the word. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I am with you always. They will persecute you in this world, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. And I was finding that courage and that fortitude, just like when Jesus came to Joshua in the Old Testament. What did he always say? Be strong, be courageous. And he said it more than once. Why? Because it's a tendency for mankind to be fearful, to be afraid to, somebody will not accept us. Someone would be offended by us. Now, don't misunderstand me. We don't want to go about purposely trying to offend people. But you got to realize when you start sharing Jesus Christ with people, some people are going to be offended. Personally, I encountered it. Full-fledged, very, very difficult situation. When I shared my salvation with my mother the first time, she got mad. She didn't get glad. She wasn't happy for me. She was mad at me because in her mind, I was already saved because of my good conduct and my religious heritage. And when I told her I got saved, it just did not go well at all. One of the hardest trials I've ever went through in my entire life. Right after being born again by the Spirit of God. And here I face this, wanting love, joy, and happiness. And I get anger and threatened and told to get out of the house. Wow. But yet, I had virtue, I had courage, I had fortitude because I knew my Savior. I knew my God. I knew what He had done for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see then, add to your faith, virtue. You're going to need that courage. You're going to need that fortitude because you're going to want to share Jesus Christ with men. And then add to that virtue, knowledge. And this is interesting. True wisdom, by which your faith will be increased and your courage directed and preserved from degenerating into rashness. In other words, wisdom is being able to take knowledge and using it rightly. Once again, not trying to offend people, not trying to bash people, but yet sharing truth because you know it's the truth that sets men free. Woo, hallelujah. And so now, virtue, you've got to have that courage, but it can't be unbridled courage. It's got to be courage coupled with the knowledge of God that God is love. God is mercy. God is kindness. God is grace. Woo. I mean, you know, a lot of times when we first get saved, I mean, we just get just full throttle, if you will, of trying to make everybody believe what we just found. Well, this is what Peter's trying to encourage us. No. Yes, you've got to have that courage and you've got to have that zeal, but it's got to be coupled with the knowledge, the way God would do it. True wisdom. And then add to this knowledge, temperance. A proper and limited use of all earthly enjoyments, keeping every sense under proper restraints, and never permitting the carnal part to override the spiritual part. Temperance. Hallelujah. Learning how to possess this vessel in sanctification. Keeping this body under, like the Apostle Paul said, lest I be a castaway. See, we've got to understand, we can be a castaway. We can move into error. We can fall away from the Lord, or we can just do nothing and find ourselves right back to default. This is what I call default, your carnal ways. Your carnal ways. The way Jesus found you, and you go back to those ways. We don't want that. We want temperance. So now, the virtue, the courage, the fortitude, the knowledge, the wisdom is coming. So now, because of this wisdom, then I've got to bring every thought, every vain imagination. And I shared with you just the other night what vain imagination meant. It meant those vain reasonings in our head of that 101 reasons why we can't. That's a vain imagination when Jesus Christ said, you can. So bring every vain imagination, every thought, every reasoning thought, and we're all susceptible to it no matter what the Word of God. When the Word of God comes to us, we've then been trying to justify our deeds instead of realizing what God's Word just said about our deeds. Oh my, this is a very difficult one. When someone does you wrong, you think you have the right to do them wrong. Show me scripture for that. You're not going to find one. No, the Bible says, love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. In other words, treat you wrong. Woo. What is that? That's that vain reasoning, trying to justify what I'm doing because what somebody else did to me. Pull that down. Bring your thoughts to subjection to Jesus Christ. What's that mean? Woo. That's temperance. That is restraining and pulling everything in subjection to Jesus Christ, and especially in those hard times. Hallelujah. Temperance. And add to your temperance patience. Wow, this is the difficult one. This is not necessarily talking about waiting a long time. This is talking about bearing all trials and difficulties with an even mind, enduring in all and preserving through all. And when it means an even mind, once again, it's linked with temperance, that mind that is surrendered to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Not operating off what I see, not operating off what somebody's done to me, but operating off what Jesus Christ has done in me, done for me, and asked of me. That's what I operate off of. Hallelujah. And the patience, that means I'll be able to bear any trial or difficulty because, once again, here's the peace of mind that passeth all understanding, with an even mind, enduring in all and persevering through all, because God is good. Even when things are bad, God is still good. God is my helper. God is my strength. God is my comfort. God is my wisdom. God is my knowledge. He's everything to me. That's what's going to take me through a trial. That's what's going to take me through hard times. We coined the term at home when our kids was growing up. A lot of times we had to go through hard tacos. You ever had those day-old tacos, you know, you saved over from the day you bought them, and the day-old tacos, just tell me, how soft are they? How really enjoyable are they? And so we kind of coined the phrase, you know, oh man, we're going through a hard taco right now. Woo! That way you could start laughing about it and get a little humor going on about it, and then that then kind of helped you get a hold of the grace of God so you could go on through it. Most of the time it's for the kids, you know, when they were in trouble. Oh, you got a hard taco now, bud. Sis, you got a hard taco coming. Woo! Praise our God. But anyway, hallelujah, that patience, that bearing all trials and difficulties. And then add to your patience. You mean we're not done yet? Woo! You mean we're not done yet? I mean, we've covered a lot of territory. No, we're not done at all. We got a lot of territory to cover in this life called Christianity. But it's a joy. Hallelujah. And it's peace and it's power. Hallelujah. There's nothing like being in surrender to Jesus Christ and walking wholly with Him, and He becomes everything to me. And add to your patience, godliness. What is godliness? Piety towards God. A deep, reverence, religious fear, not only worshiping God with every becoming outward act, but adoring, loving, and magnifying Him in the heart, a disposition indispensably necessary to salvation, but exceedingly rare among professors of Christianity. Godliness. Simply put, God-likeness. Becoming a partaker of that divine nature. Hallelujah. And so this is what Peter is, he's reminding the church of these things. This is not the first time they've heard these words. This is not the first time they've heard these teachings. But this might be the first time they get some of it. Praise God. And this is why he knew he needed to continue to remind them. And this is why he wrote the letter, so that the letter would be there so they could read it over and over and over and over again. Godliness. Godlikeness. Hallelujah. And this is a progression that we're building in our lives and our relationship with God. Hallelujah. And now he moves and add to your godliness. Now that you've got yourself kind of taken care of here a little bit, now that you've got to realize on your walk with God, your allegiance to God, your surrender to God, and God working in you, add to your godliness brotherly kindness. Love of the brotherhood, the strongest attachment to Christ's flock. Feeling each as a member of your own body. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Wow. That's brotherly kindness. Do you like people to be kind to you? Do you like people to give you the benefit of the doubt? Do you like people to be merciful to you? Then make sure you're that way to them. Brotherly kindness. See, brotherly kindness is not a matter of how they treat me. It's a matter of how I treat them. Brotherly kindness. Kindness. I don't know who coined this phrase. I'm not sure where I heard it the first time. I've used it multitudes of times. You know, when you're going through a hard time and people aren't treating you right, here's what you need to do. First carnal thought is you want to. So here's what you need to do. You need to go ahead and kill them with kindness. Kill them with kindness. If your enemy needs a drink of water, you give him a drink of water. You kill him with kindness. Let's rephrase it. You win him with kindness. No matter how hard they treat you, how difficult they treat you, you win them with kindness. Praise our God. Brotherly kindness. Now, this is just in the brotherhood realm. This is in the church realm. Yeah, in the church realm. You know, Christians? Fighting with Christians? Oh, surely not. Well, evidently it was going on in the churches because a lot of epistles write about it. And they emphasize, John emphasized on it, Peter's emphasizing on it, Paul emphasized on it, brotherly kindness, loving your brother. You'll know you love God because you love the brethren. I mean, that's John's writing there. And now add to the brotherly kindness, now we're moving charity. Add to your brotherly kindness charity. This is love for the whole human race, even to your persecutors. Love to God and the love to the brethren. Love to all mankind. You've got to have that also. True religion, true Christianity is neither selfish nor insulated. Where the love of God is, prejudice cannot exist. The gospel is for all. God's word is for all. Truth is for all. Hallelujah. And Peter is reminding the church, this is what it's going to take for God's will to happen in your lives. This is what it's going to take for you to be an overcomer. This is what it's going to take for you to secure eternal life. Make your calling and election sure. This is what it's going to take. What is this? Well, if you stop and think about every one of these things Peter is saying add to your faith, you can probably stop and think about a situation you've been in your Christian life that you needed this. And you had to overcome in it. Because if you don't overcome in it, then it has overcome you. And sin is knocking at the door. You remember, we can go all the way back to the story of Cain and Abel. And Cain was wroth because God didn't accept his sacrifice. And God told him, you know what I require. And if you'll do it, you'll be accepted. If not, sin's at the door. Sin's waiting there. You see, obedience is righteousness. Disobedience, if it's maintained, brings forth sin. You see, there's mercy, there's grace, there's kindness, there's love. There's also wrath. chastisement and judgment. And what I do with truth, well, that's what determines which one I'm going to get. You see, I've got to overcome in the midst of the situation. You know, this is one of the things, you know, preached a message a long time ago, where the rubber meets the road. Just an old cliche. This is where it's at. The scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, is not hard to do until your neighbor is most unbearable person in the whole wide world, does nothing but persecute you. Then it becomes a big ordeal to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that's the whole thing about God's word. If we're not in the situation or in the circumstance, we want to preach it with joy and preach it with happiness and preach it with a smile on our face. But we're in a situation where we're going to have to bend, we're going to have to change, we're going to have to give in, we're going to have to love, we're going to have to forgive. Now, that's a different story. That's where the rubber meets the road. Are you going to do it and obey God? Are you going to do what you want to do and suffer the consequences of judgment? See, once again, we've kind of lost the reality. Obedience is not a multiple choice thing. Obedience is not an option. Obedience is a must. If I'm going to be an overcomer, if I'm going to make my calling and election sure, then obedience is a must. I mean, stop and think. What brought sin into the world? Was it obedience or disobedience? What brings sin into your life? Is it obedience or disobedience? Now we're going into that vain imagination. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. How many stripes on Jesus' back belong to you? How much pain and torment Jesus went through belongs to you? Did he say, I can't forgive you because I know what you've done? Then who am I not to forgive somebody for something they've done towards me? That's what the Bible says. And that Bible goes on to say, if you will not forgive, then you will not be forgiven. You remember a while ago when I said, what you choose to do with truth determines which side of God you're going to get? You can go to the back of the book and you can read in the book of Revelation. There's books that are open. And you're going to be judged by the works that you did. Most of that judgment is for all those who did not accept Jesus Christ, was not obedient to Jesus Christ, and they found themselves at the great white throne judgment of God, and they're about to be thrown in the lake of fire, and the degree of their punishment is going to be according to how they lived their lives. And that's why Jesus Christ let us know that if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's the works that faith is built on. Faith without works is dead. Where do the works come in? The works come in when I am tempted not to forgive. But then I rise up and allow virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity begin to rule my heart and rule my mind. Guess what you're going to do? You forgive. Why? Because you know Him. You've built your relationship with Him. You've gained the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now His ways are becoming your ways. Oh, you're becoming a partaker of that divine nature. And please don't misunderstand me. We've all got to grow. When you first come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ other than He is the Savior of your soul, and that's the gladdest and the grandest thing that's ever happened in your life. But that's all you know about God. Because everything else you think you know about God just needs to put, and I use this terminology, just wad it up and throw it in the trash can. And now let Jesus Christ teach you truth and the ways of God through His Word, through His Spirit. Praise God. Got to move on. Last two scriptures here. Just going to jump back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Sometimes we need reminded. We need encouraged. Sometimes we need, and I hesitate to say it, but sometimes we need rebuked. Sometimes we need corrected. You know, sometimes we need chastised. I'm thankful the Lord chastens those whom He loves, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to remain in sin. If I've fallen to sin, I don't want to stay there. I want to confess my sin. In other words, I want to take full responsibility for my actions, not anybody else's. And my actions can only be based upon my decision. And if my decision was not based on God's Word, then it was a wrong decision. And I've got to take accountability for that, and I've got to call it sin. And when the Bible says, if I'm faithful and I confess my sins, He's just and faithful to forgive my sins. See, if I always want to just push mine under the rug and not be accountable for them, responsible for them, guess what? They're never going to get forgiven until you are accountable and you confess it as wrong. And you ask for grace and mercy, and it will be found. You see, that's our part. That's growth. That's spiritual growth. That's growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why preachers preach. This is why teachers teach. This is why singers sing, to continually refresh and renew our minds. 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now, don't go that route. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Don't be led astray by your own desires, your own feelings, your own hurts. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does that produce? That produces a Christian, a follower of Christ. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. In all the warfare, in all the battles, in the race that we run, in real life, Christ is first, and His way is the right way. And He has become everything to us. And thus we follow Him. Now, if He's not become everything, you know who everything is? You. You're everything to yourself. And that, you'll know you'll have passed from death to life when He becomes everything. And it's a joy to follow Jesus Christ. Woo. Praise God. Hallelujah. Could I have a piano player this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Complete, then repeat. You read it once? Let's read it again. You've encountered it before and you were victorious? Get ready. It may come again. Just repeat the same thing again. Do it like Jesus would do it. Do it how He would have you to do it. You did it once and you overcame. But can you do it twice? Because it will come around again. It was a complete victory. That's not going to keep your flesh crucified. That's not going to keep the world from trying to attack you. And it's not going to keep demonic forces from from trying to bombard your mind, you're going to have to repeat it again. Do it again. We sing that song, He'll Do It Again, of all God can do. But God's looking down on us and He's encouraging us, you can do it again. You can overcome again. You can be victorious again. Hallelujah. Praise our God. You know, there's been a lot of times I've challenged students to do something, and they did it. And they did it good. And I'll tell them, I said, well, you know what you've shown me? You've shown me you can do it. Now let's do it again. Amen. See, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, until it's harder than what I think I can bear. There's that vain imagination again. Because you can bear it all. Beareth all things, endureth all things. I mean, the Word of God's there. That's why we hide it in our hearts, so that when we come to these situations of life, it's the Word of God that dominates our thinking and not the situation. See, that's one of the hardest things to accomplish in the Christian life, is that the Christian life becomes everything. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you work, no matter who you work with. Sometimes there's hard tacos that come down our roads. And immediately we want the hard taco gone. Or we want to leave the hard taco behind. If you will, God said, I brought you this hard taco so you could eat it. You could devour it. You could be victorious over it in the midst of it. Now, I've had a lot of hard tacos in my life, but I've never been crucified upside down. But do you know it takes the same faith, the same allegiance, the same courage to go through your hard taco as it did for Peter to be crucified upside down? Because no matter what it is, I must be victorious. I must be an overcomer. I must rise and allow Christ to strengthen me so that I can do what He's asked me to do. Praise our God. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times people have asked me, you know, if you were put in that situation, you think you could be strong? You know what my answer is to them? Peter had the same grace I've got. Peter had the same Holy Ghost I've got. And if I get put in that situation, my God will give me the same strength He gave Peter. Because He only gives that strength in that time of need. So all I can say is, well, right now I've not been put in that situation. But I have all confidence that if I'm put in that situation, my God will show me and take me through it. Can't remember whether it was William Tyndale or John Wycliffe was going to be burned at the stake. And his friends came and says, Aren't you afraid of the fire? And the candle was burning there on his table, and he just stuck his finger up in it and let his finger burn. He said, no, my God will be with me. You see, it's can't even fathom a situation like that. Don't need to. You just got to know that whatever situation you encounter, your God will be there. Your Savior will be there. Had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ever been put in a fiery furnace before? But they just chose to believe God, chose to serve God, and said, God, if He delivers us, we're great with it. If He doesn't, we're still great with it. That's faith. Faith if He does, faith if He doesn't. That's just faith. That time he did. Praise God. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what circumstances of life you may be facing. And it may be a repeat situation. But the same God that took you through the first time, he'll take you through the second time. Or I'm going to throw this at you and I've got to quit. You may not have went through the first time. You may have just ran. You know, the fight or flight, that's real, even in Christians. You may not have been victorious the first time. You may have just left the situation. God's brought it back again, so you can be victorious in it. Now, some may disagree with me. That's all right. I think you'll find it in Scripture. In this world, you're going to suffer persecution. Be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. There's no greater growth than when you can sit in the fiery furnace with your Savior. There's no greater growth. Well, there's been a lot of times I just soon ran. I just soon run from it. I just soon not dealt with it. It's not in us a lot of times to always deal with the situations until we allow the Spirit of God to give us that strength, that courage, that wisdom. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Stand with me if you would. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name and we thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Day. Thank you for your kindness that you show unto us. Thank you for the mercy. Thank you for the grace. Father in heaven, Lord, I just thank you for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, that you're mindful of us. Lord, you know all about our struggles. Sing about it Thursday night. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord, strengthen your children. Strengthen your people, Lord. Let your Spirit rest upon us here this morning, this day. Hallelujah. Lord, just have your way with us. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, oh, God. Hallelujah. Working your perfect work, not in us, in our lives, Lord, in our circumstances, in our situations. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, just quicken your word to us. This day, Lord God, let us glean from this message, oh Lord. Let us be strong. Let us be courageous. Let us be obedient. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanksgiving. These altars are open here this morning. Invite you to come. Find a place to pray. Let's close with the time of prayer here this morning. Hallelujah. Pondering upon God's word. What the Spirit of God is speaking unto us.